We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Exodus chapter 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit that what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maiden walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." And you all know from reading chapter 1 that Pharaoh had executed an order that all the male babies should be killed. And so that's what this is speaking of. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go," and the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child drew until she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." I want to just share, as I said, there's so much in that scripture there. But just share just a little bit here to honor godly mothers here on this Mother's Day. And if I would take a text here, the text would be the man with two mothers. The man with two mothers. Now, Mother's Day is a bittersweet day. In the minds of many people, there's no one in the world like their mother. And so for most of us that are here this morning, mom is a very special person. Now, others, however, has memories of mothers that are not all that special. In other words, perhaps the relationship was strained by some reason or other. Tickle in my throat. For some, motherhood is an accident. In other words, not always the child has not always been welcome. For some, biological motherhood isn't possible. There's some, they just cannot have children. For some, mothers weren't all that nice to their children. For some, motherhood under the very best of circumstances is still less than a bed of roses. But someone said this right here: to become a mother is not that difficult. But on the other hand, being a mother is very much so. And so we have to be very careful as we approach the topic of motherhood. Now, I understand that. I understand how careful that we have to be, because not all mothers, now you listen to me, deserves to be elevated to a place of reference and a place of honor. But some definitely do. And I believe we have many of those mothers right here with us this morning that does deserve honor and reverence here this morning. But mothers are a special people. Real mothers are integral in part of our lives. In other words, we wouldn't be who we are with our mothers, and without our mothers, we wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for our mothers. So some of the greatest people in history will tell you how important their mothers were in their lives. For example, the first president of the United States of America, George Washington, declared, I owe to my mother. All that I am, I owe to my mother. So this was also true of one of the greatest men in the Old Testament history, a man by the name of Moses. Now, Moses became the kind of a man he was because the type of mother that he had. In fact, here, who he was very much determined by the type of mothers he had, because God gave, as I said here, God gave Moses two mothers. And both of these women fulfilled the maternal role in the life of Moses. And they made certain choices in regard to Moses that impact the course of his life. And then so that those choices are what I want to talk about this morning. Those choices that those women made Moses the man that he became. The old saying is, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And that's probably is true this morning. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And so that was absolutely true in the life of Moses. Now I want to examine these choices right here, made by the biological mother of Moses, and also made by the adoptive mother of Moses. Their choices has much to teach us about love, and teach us about life, and about the legacy that we leave our children. And so I want to preach on the man that had two mothers. And so I want you to see here the choices that these women made in the life of Moses. The first choice they made, they chose to give Moses life. They chose to give Moses life. In other words, consider this right here. Consider the choice of Jochebed, the biological mother of Moses. Moses was born into a culture of death. In other words, you all know the story. How that the Egyptians, the Hebrews were down there in Egypt, and they were multiplying so fast that the Egyptians said, boy, they're going to get so many of them. They're going to rise up when they get big and overtake us. So they started putting heavier taskmasters on them, make them work harder, and all of those kind of things. And the more they did that, the more babies that were born. And Pharaoh said, we've got to do something. We've got to do something to prevent all these Hebrew babies from being born. And so what they did was, he passed a decree that the midwives, whenever a baby was born, if it was a boy, then it would immediately be put to death. But the midwives feared God, and they wouldn't do that. And then he issued a decree and said, whoever, whenever a child is born that is a male, then it has to be destroyed or put to death. So Moses was born in a culture of death. He was born in a culture that says he was to die. And so he should have been killed as soon as he was born. Moses should have been put to death. Imagine the pregnancy if you were carrying a child. And you know if this child is a boy, then quick as he's born, then he's going to die. Imagine the expectation. Imagine the wondering whether the baby is going to be a boy or a girl. They didn't have ultrasounds back then to determine before it's born what it's going to be. And the anticipation of what it's going to be. And so we see here, the Bible says they had to wait until the baby was born to find out whether it's going to be a boy or a girl. And when she did, she gave birth to a goodly baby boy. Look at that word, goodly. Means a good or pleasant or agreeable or happy. In other words, he was a lovely baby boy. In the mother's eyes, he was perfect. Perfect little boy. And so, and she refused to kill him and chose life for her son. And his mother, Moses' mother, chose to disobey the command of Pharaoh. She allowed her son to live, And by the way, both of Moses' parents were involved in this decision to give him life. Look what Hebrews 11:23 says. It said, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. So Abram and Jochebed hid the drawing baby for as long as they could. And of course, others knew that she was expecting. And others knew that Mary was, or that Jochebed was pregnant, and now she's not. And so what happened? So there you have that. So they got to do something. They got to do something here about Moses. So her faith in God would not allow her to murder her son. But her faith in God was so great, she was willing to trust God with the life of her child. And so she could not kill the baby, and she could not secure a safe place for the baby. So the only thing that she knew to do was that she made a little basket of reed. She applied pitch to the so that it would not leak. She put the little baby in it, and she set him adrift in the providence of God. She's saying, God, I'm going to trust you to take care of him. I'm no longer can take care of him. I'm going to trust you. I know this is a proper child. I know this is a child that you have given me. And so the baby's older sister stood nearby to make sure nothing happened to the child. And now here was a mother who chose life for her child. It would have been easier for her to just take his life. Death for baby Hebrews at that time was the law of the land. To kill the baby boy. But she has destroyed here. She realizes she could not destroy her son. But she chose to give him life. Now that's the biological mother. Now look here at the adopted mother. If you look there in verse 5 and 6, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to the river to bathe. And when she sees the floating ark, she sends her servants to investigate. And they bring her the basket, and she looks inside to find a crying baby. I heard old Maze Jackson say this right here. When they brought that basket with that little baby in it to that Egyptian woman, that God reached down and pinched the baby and caused it to cry. You'd have to have a cold heart not to have compassion on a crying baby with you. So that's probably true. I don't know whether God pinched it or not, but I believe that God was instrumental in causing the baby to cry.
Yes.
Because then when he cried, that she had compassion on him. And because she saw that he had been circumcised, she knew that he was a Hebrew child. She knew because of the circumcision. That was what that Hebrews did to their children. And so here, and understand that his mother has chosen life over death of the child. Now we're told that she had compassion, and so she spared the child, the Egyptian den. She could obey the decree of her father and have that child killed. Been very easy. All she had to done is just had one of her servants to tip over the basket, and the baby would have fell in the Nile River and would have been drowned. Been very easy to get rid of him. Wasn't no difficult thing. But she chose life for the child who should have been killed. Now let's face the fact today. In America, we live in a culture of death.
That's right.
And so we live in a world where the most dangerous place for an unborn child to be is the place that should be the safest. And that's in his mother's womb. We live in a world where not every pregnant woman wants to be a mother. We live in a culture that allows a woman to take away the life of her child. We live in a world where that abortions are increasing at high rates. And the fact is, it's too easy in our world to do away with an unwanted child.
Amen.
We live in a culture of death. And I don't think anybody here this morning could deny that. We need to pray
Yes.
for our pro-life lawmakers.
Amen.
and pray that God will change the hearts of those who are pro-death. If God can providentially touch the heart of this pagan princess and make her choose life for a Hebrew baby that her father had said needs to be killed, I believe with all of my heart that God can touch the heart of lost lawmakers and lost doctors that tries to destroy babies and cause them to have a change of heart. Amen. I believe God can. I believe we need to pray. Pray very bad. Let me just make two quick statements right here. Thank God for every mother who chooses life for her baby. Thank God for them. I applaud you. And I thank God for you. I praise the Lord that my mother chose life for me. I enjoy living. I'm glad that I got to experience what they call life. I'm glad I got to experience this world and live here. It's been wonderful. And so this is always God's will. Because I want to say this to you. Every human life is precious to the Lord. Is that not right? Every human life is precious to the Lord. Now let me say this. Let me make another statement here. If you, and I don't think nobody here has, but they could have had. But we know that we play this tape on radio sometimes. We'll sometime or another we'll play this tape on radio, and we don't know who's out there listening on radio. But let me say this. If you have had an abortion, I want you to know that God loves you and that God cares about you. And I want you to know your choice to end the life of your child was a sin, but it's a sin that can be forgiven. And so if you'll just bring that to God and allow Him to cleanse your heart and soothe the pain that you feel over what you've done, then God will do that for you. Amen. And so that's the two things that I want to say here. They chose life. And then they chose to give Moses love. Both of these women that God placed in the life of Moses loved him more than they loved themselves. The birth mother risked her life to save her baby. The adopted mother risked the wrath of her father, the Pharaoh, to save this baby. What would they do that? Why would they do that? Why would you risk your life to save a baby? Why would you risk the wrath of your father? The only answer that makes any sense to me is love. They loved Moses more than they loved themselves. Their love for him motivated them to what they did. Now, Jochebed loved Moses because he was her son. Her body gave life and nourished him, and he grew over the years. And because his mother loved him so much that she risked everything to save him, he was able to lead his... Now, you think about this. He was able to lead his people out of Egyptian slavery. He was able to destroy the armies and the power of Egypt without a single sword or a single arrow. Their love allowed him to fulfill the God-given destiny to be the Savior of his people. And then the princess loved Moses because God put it in her heart. There's no other reason. You can't explain it any other way. She didn't go down that day looking for a baby. She went down that day to bathe, and she knew well what the laws of the land was. But the reason this pagan daughter of Pharaoh would adopt this son, a Hebrew slave, her heart was moved by this helpless child, and she took him as her own son, named him Moses. It means drawn out. Moses was drawn out of the Nile River. And that name was also providential because Moses was drawn out so that one day he might draw out more. Now, it's an irony here, and I thank the Lord for this. And I don't know whether you've ever seen this when you studied this or not. I know you have. It's hard to escape the irony here of this situation. Pharaoh had to pay for the upkeep of a child he had ordered to be murdered. Again, this is the providence of God.
Amen. Did not the princess say, you go and hire somebody and I'll pay her wages to take care of it? So here's old Pharaoh having to pay to keep a child up that he wanted to be killed. And so, just a reminder, and I want you to remember this morning, we serve a God this morning who is in charge of all things. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
That God's in charge of everything.
Yes.
He's in control of every event in life to accomplish His purpose in this world. God controls. You may think it's out of control. Man, when you watch the news today, you think it is out of control. But I want you to know God's still got His hand on the throttle. God's still in control. And so God put love in this child's heart. And two vastly different women spared Moses. Look what Acts 7, 19 through 20 says. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and even treated our fathers so that they cast out their young children, to the end that they might not live, in which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fire, and nourished up in the father's house 3 months. Exceeding fire. Literally mean that it was fire to God. God loved this child. And He worked in the hearts and the lives of others, causing them to love Him too. If you're born, and I think this is what William said a while ago, if you were born into the family where you received love, you should rejoice this morning.
Amen.
If you were born into the family where you've been loved, then you have been blessed very much. Because that is not true with every child. They're not living in homes where they're loved. And so if you are, then you are to be so thankful. Thank God for mothers who love their children. And so then the last thing I want to show you here. I want to show you that they chose life, they chose love, and they chose to give Moses the leadership. Now, both of these mothers, God gave Moses, invested themselves in his life. The Egyptian mother gave him the best that Egypt had to offer. This is the only way you get it. And God, He needed the education. He needed to know all the customs and all the things of Egypt. And so God had this so that he would get what he needed. Acts 7, 21 through 20. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt and was mighty in the words and in the deeds. This means that she gave him the best education available. It's possible that Moses, by virtue of being adopted by the daughter of Pharaoh, was in line for the throne. No doubt he was. He was in line for the throne of Egypt. He was trained as a prince in Egypt. He was trained for leadership. That train would serve him in these later years. And then that's what the adopted mother did. Look at what the birth mother did. She gave him something that the adopted mother could not give him. His real mother introduced Moses to the God of Israel. She told him about the true and the living God. She also would have warned him about the gods of Egypt and about the religions of Egypt. She would have told him the stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. She would have told him about the reason the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt. She would have told him about the promise that God had made to deliver the people from the bondage someday. And she would have instilled within him a love and a respect for the God of their fathers. That's what Jochebed gave him. And so in Acts chapter 11, verse 24 through verse 27, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect of the recompense of his reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is impossible. By the time that Moses was grown, he understood that God would use him to deliver the people of Israel from their bondage. And he understood that. And I want to show you something.
And I want to close with this right here. The lesson Moses learned from his mother set the very course of his life. This, with the children that you and I, every one of us here that has been given the responsibility of raising children, if God gave you that responsibility, we need to give them something that all the universities and all the schools and all of the extracurricular activities in the world cannot give them. We need to give them a knowledge of God.
Amen.
And you listen to what I'm saying.
That's right.
The you that God has given, that's what you're responsible for.
Yeah.
I promise you these universities are not going to give them that.
Right.
The university is going to try to destroy their faith. Going to try their very best to destroy their faith. You better make sure that you've instilled and they've got a good foundation.
Right.
So if they leave, if your children leave your home and they're unable to balance their checkbook, I don't know whether anybody knows how to balance a checkbook anymore or not. But if they leave, and so that somebody told me this lady walked up in the bank and she saw this woman and she said, "Will you help me balance? You help me with my balance?" And said, the fella pushed her and she fell over. You'll get that in a minute. It ain't that hard to understand. But listen, but if they leave there with a clear understanding of who God is, if they leave your home with a full understanding that Jesus Christ, who that He is, then they're well ahead of the smartest of their peers. If they leave your home not knowing how to dance, if they leave your home and they don't know how to play ball, if they leave your home and they don't know how to solve long math problems, or they don't know anything about that kind of things, but if they leave your home knowing that the Bible is the Word of God, if they leave your home knowing that Jesus is a friend of sinners,
yes,
and that God loves them, they're far better off than their peers who learn nothing of God in their homes. What I'm saying is that we live in a culture in which parents want their children to have more than they did. We want them to have a better education. We want our children to have a better home. We want our children to have a better life. I know that was true for me. I wanted my child to have a better life than I did. That didn't require a whole lot for me having something better for her. But we all want that. That's just a parent's instinct in us. What we should be more interested in, you know, that they have a deeper and personal abiding relationship with God.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.